Perhaps you've read Helen McDonald's award-winning 2015 bestseller, H is for Hawk. If not, do right now. She writes in the most lyrical prose about how after the death, way too young, of her beloved father, a noted photographer, she retreated from the world into the world of Mabel the goshawk. We read, holding our breath, as Mabel learns to jump onto Helen's fist, then fly to it, finally to fly, hunt, and will she return? Yes. We marvel at Mabel's beauty and her hunting skills. At one point, Helen describes her as 30 ounces of death in a feathered jacket. We get to know Mabel so well that when we learned, spoiler alert, that Mabel died of a fungus infection, we grieved and wondered if Helen would ever train another bird. The answer is yes, and you can watch her do it in the PBS Nature special, H is for Hawk, a new chapter. We meet Lupin, the new goshawk Helen will train, and get a rare opportunity to accompany Helen as she observes goshawk chicks in the wild. H is for Hawk, a new chapter, premieres tomorrow, and Helen McDonald joins us from the NPR studios in New York. Helen, so great to speak with you again.
It's just a joy. Hello.
Hello. Well, and to see this, what is it about these goshawks? We see you observing them at one point, and you say it makes the room that you're in with them feel wild. What is it about these creatures?
They're just transformative. I describe them at one point, I think, as a cross between a leopard and a dragon. You know, they're these creatures from myth wrought into, you know, bones and feathers with these staring orange eyes and talons. I mean, they're as near to a dragon as you can get in real life. And yeah, as soon as you bring a goshawk into a room, the room stops being a domestic space and becomes somewhere much colder and wilder.
Yeah, you talk about their predatory grace, big, bloody, scary, hard to see in the wild. And we're thinking that when we met you and Mabel, it feels now, seeing this, you know, new program years on, that you are a different person then. You felt like a hawk then, a little closed down, a little, you know, hooded eyes, dark forests, you know. You feel different now. Is that accurate, do you think?
Oh, so much. So much, Robin. So people sometimes have read my book and they meet me and I can see the fear in their eyes as they come up to me as if, you know, I'm this kind of terrifyingly dark and gothic creature. I'm really not like that, you know. I like to think I'm a kind of a soft and fluffy creature these days. So one of the things that was interesting about going on to train another goshawk was, you know, I'm this new person. I'm full of sunlight and, you know, hello trees, hello sky. You know, what was it going to be like to find myself back in the presence of one of these dark kind of creatures? And the answer was, it was awesome.
Because why?
I think it was a reckoning. So falconry is a really strange dance of trust between you and a wild creature, and you develop a relationship slowly over many, you know, days and weeks of contact. And Lupin and I sort of came together and we developed this friendship that was of a much, a very, very different kind of tenor than me and Mabel. You know, Mabel and me were like, she felt like part of my soul. I mean, that seems really cheesy now, but Lupin was very self-possessed, and we had this very mature sort of relationship that was like that between two adult colleagues. It was really cool.
Well, it feels like Mabel was enabling you to go to a very dark place of this grief that you had, and it almost feels like with Lupin, you're coaxing her out of that dark place, you know, and into this glorious, you know, life as a trained goshawk in the wild. Let's talk about the training. And it's not just training. You get to meet her because she's bred in captivity by these wonderful hawk people who sit with a bank of television screens and watch their hawks as they breed them.
Oh, it was absolutely hysterical. Yeah, these guys, they just stare at these screens. It's like NASA for hawks. And we watch a male goshawk and a female goshawk doing their business.
Here we are. Come on, lad.
You're doing it right now.
There you are. That's it. One copulation.
Hopefully she lays soon and it'll be fertile.
It's a just marvellously comedic moment.
That's how Lupin is conceived, and you get to watch her grow. But you also go into the wild with other falconers and get to see chicks in the wild because they are taken out of their nest at a certain point just to be tagged.
Would it stress her out if I just go quickly held her for a second?
No, no, that's fine. That's fine.
Come on then, missus.
What was that like, to hold them as chicks?
Oh, You know, I kind of wish everyone could at some point in their lives hold a baby goshawk. I know that's not very, you know, likely, but if you can imagine holding something made of cotton wool that's also extremely heavy and full of kind of spiky new feathers, and they turn their heads around to look at you and they have this amazing sort of smelling breath. It smells like pepper and hot stone. And they stare right at you. And they look like they're prehistoric, you know. And the thing that was astonishing is, you know, we were banding these birds for science. And then we put them back in their nest. And there was this very poignant, beautiful moment where I realized that no one's ever going to touch these birds again. In fact, they might not even be seen by human eyes again. Mm. But for one brief moment, we managed to our lives intersected with theirs. It was amazing.
As you say, looking for goshawks in the wild is like looking for grace. It comes, but not often, and you don't get to say when or how. So back to Lupin, who, by the way, Lupin, you say naming hawks, there's some tradition there?
It's a great superstition. So among falconers, if you give hawk a kind of really scary name, like, you know, vampire or slayer, it will do nothing but sit on a fence post and with fluffy feathers and squeak at you. So people tend to give falcons and hawks quite cutesy names. So I called mine Mabel. But Lupin, I think, I was really pleased with this name. It just dropped into my head one day because Lupin obviously means it's a kind of flower, but it also means wolf. And I think there's no better name to conjure those two sides of what a goshawk's like, something which is very predatory and very powerful and wild, but also kind of beautiful and cute at the same time.
Talk about crossing from, as you say, this world into a wilder one. You're taking Lupin out at this point, trying to train her. You and your friend are training her. You did Mabel alone, but getting her to fly from one of you to the other. You've got her on kind of a leash. She's working towards getting off the leash, which scares the heck out of me, you know. How do you know she would come back?
Well, the process was very different, not just because it was a new hawk and not just because I was a kind of new person, but because it wasn't solitary. And it wasn't solitary partly because my friend was there, but partly also because there was a film crew in the room. Mm. And training a goshawk is stressful, but training one with a bunch of cameramen and sound recordists in the room makes it even more stressful. And there was one really funny moment where we had one of those, you know, those microphones that are covered in fluffy material to stop the wind noise. And the goshawk just suddenly saw it and went into full hunting mode, thinking it was a rabbit of some kind, you know. there was this kind of beautiful sense that here was a very ancient process that was happening. We were training this hawk the way that falconers have trained hawks for, you know, thousands and thousands of years. But there was this extra dimension of warmth and camaraderie and friendship and, you know, and the filming and the filming crew.
And we thrill and watch as Lupin flies free for the first time.
We have liftoff.
You said it was like a reckoning. It feels like redemptive, too.
Yeah. You know, it's been a long time since the death of my father. And when I was training Lupin, he was kind of conjured for me.
Listen, people believe that. I shared once that we had red-tailed hawks here right in, you know, the middle of the city. And they built a nest on an office building and people would come to watch and they had names. And somebody called to say that her husband had died and he'd been a huge fan of the red-tailed hawk. And the red-tailed hawk showed up at her husband's funeral.
I get a chill down my spine. You would not believe the number of people I've spoken to over the last couple of years who've had experiences almost exactly like that. And you think, you know, for thousands of years, hawks and falcons have been seen as related to the human soul. You know, in Central Asia, there are gravestones with carved images of people on horseback, and above them there's a hawk flying, and that's their soul. It continues through the shamanic traditions where the falcon or the hawk is often the communication between the person on the ground and, you know, whatever is above. And I think my time with Mabel, you know, was somehow part of that old story. And, you know, they're just strangely special animals.
Yeah. That's naturalist and author and now television star Helen MacDonald. Her new nature special on PBS is H is for Hawk, a new chapter. For more about the PBS special, go to hereandnow.org. Helen, thanks as always.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.